This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870 and our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call or send us an email. Talk sports with us today right here on AM 870. We'll talk a lot about the NCAA tournament. We'll also talk about the girls' state championship tournament going on. So we have guests for you. You can call either one. We're starting out with our good friend, Drew Sharp from the Detroit Free Press. So let's bring in Drew and talk about the NCAA tournament. Hey, Drew, how you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, I'm trying to sit up here and think, is there any way that Detroit can pull the upset and beat Kansas? Because that would be one of the biggest upsets in NCAA history if they can pull it off. Wouldn't it be?
There's a way. And one reason is that they have the size to match up against Kansas. Kansas is a two-player team, basically, with Taylor and Robinson. And, you know, if Ray McCallum, the Spartan sophomore point guard, steps up and has a big game, it's possible. And, you know, talking with people connected with the selection committee, it was pretty clear that had Michigan State lost in the tournament championship game to Ohio State, they would have been a number two seed in Columbus. They would have played UAD in Columbus. And that would not have been necessarily a very good first-round matchup for Michigan State. I mean, Detroit would have loved that one. But because Michigan State did beat Ohio State, they got the number one seed in the West. They took Kansas' spot. They took Kansas' number one. So then Kansas fell to a number two in the Midwest. And they fell to that number two spot in the Midwest, so they got UAD. But the game was going to be played in Omaha. So it came very, very close. Michigan State was 4 points away from getting UAD in Columbus.
Wow, that would have been a matchup. I know we heard a lot about that, before the tournament. That is, we've seen that happen in the past, where the NCAA tournament likes to match up two teams from the same state or from the same region. It's happened in the past before. You remember when Eastern Michigan played Michigan State? So right. So it's happened in the past. And
they're trying to sell tickets. It's all about selling tickets.
That's
and
true.
I think a lot of people were surprised. I was in Ann Arbor Sunday night, and I think they were generally surprised in Ann Arbor that they didn't get to go to Columbus as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they're pleased just to be in the tournament, but
yeah.
I think there was a little bit of surprise and disappointment that they did not get to Columbus as well, because that would have been putting both Michigan State and Michigan down there in Columbus in that pod. That would have guaranteed stronger ticket sales.
That's true, but in a way, putting them in two different regions, that gets good ticket sales for both reasons. But wouldn't that happen as well?
But how many people are they? How much is Michigan going to draw in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
They would draw more. They would draw more if they were closer to Michigan. And this is how the whole process works. And I think Michigan, they fell to a four, and I was like a lot of other people thought they were a solid three. But they fell to a four, and that tells me that they were just close enough, and perhaps that 22-point loss to Ohio State in the tournament semifinals kind of made it clear to the selection committee that, you know what, maybe they're not as close to the – even though they share the co-championship in the conference during the regular season, that they really aren't that close to Michigan State and Ohio State, and perhaps that's why they fell to a four.
Okay, got a call for you. We got Todd from Lake Orion. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. Good afternoon, Drew.
What's up, Todd?
I realize you're going to hit probably the tournament and maybe the Lions real hard, but I wanted to get into something real quick.
Yeah.
Obviously, I enjoy your writing. You've been in this area for a long time. You don't sugarcoat things, and that's probably part of the reason some people like you or dislike you, but I personally do agree with you. But I want to ask some big picture questions about Michigan State athletics. Do you realize that there's a very good chance that Michigan State University will be the only university in the country with a football team and a basketball team inside the top 10 in the entire country? Just comment is in how far MSU athletics as a whole, especially basketball.
So you're breaking up there, Todd, but I guess you can give it a shot, Drew.
he's saying that they have the chance to be, if they do well in the tournament, be the only program to have, only university to have a football team and a basketball team both in the top 10.
Yes.
In the same academic season. And that would be a big accomplishment. Michigan State, and we've known this in basketball for years. They are one of the six or seven elite programs. And how I define elite in basketball is what your level of expectation is. It's how you define success or failure in the tournament. Michigan State doesn't make it to the Final Four. It's a failed season for them. It's just that simple. That's true with Duke. That's true with North Carolina, Kentucky, and the big-time programs. But what's happening, we're seeing from a bigger picture of what Todd was trying to express there, what we're seeing now is that from a football standpoint at MSU, how they define success and failure has changed as well. And, bro, I think you'll agree with me on this one. The basement, if you will, for expectations in Michigan State football has changed dramatically. Whereas before, after two good seasons like Michigan State has had, people would expect they'll probably just win five games. They've come to expect that. The new floor for Michigan State football is now like 8 wins. That's the new floor. That's a bad season now for Michigan State is 8-4, 7-5. That's where you've seen the improvement of where this program has and how the athletic department in general, what they've done, I tell Michigan fans this all the time. Michigan, one big reason why they profited the way they did for 40 years is because Michigan State kept shooting itself in the foot time and time again with its football program. They're set now. They have a very solid, sustainable program with what Mark D'Antonio is doing there. I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games every year. That's not going to happen. But they're not going to have those terrible dips, competitive dips, like we've seen from Michigan State in the past. That's going to make the challenge even stronger for Michigan.
Yes, and I know Michigan fans, they want to – I think you and I can agree on this too, Drew. It won't go back to those old days where it was always Michigan pounding on Michigan State. No. I think those days are gone
now. Those days are gone. Those days are done. You have a solid program that Mark D'Antonio has established there. He's done an excellent job of targeting the right type of players, the right type of athletes he wants in his system. This is what Wisconsin and Iowa have done, and you talk with national recruiting experts, and they say the same thing. They're not going to be able to compete with getting the five stars like Ohio State and Michigan, but they don't have to. They don't have to have top 15 recruiting classes to have a consistently good program. You don't, and I think that's the objective for Michigan State. That's what, when I talk about how you define success and failure, it's now this program should regularly contend for Big Ten football championships. And from that standpoint, there's not much separating them from what the expectations are at Michigan. Because Michigan likes to think they're a national program at national championships everywhere. Well, no, they aren't. Ohio State, I maintain, again, until history proves me otherwise, Ohio State remains the only program in the Big Ten that's capable of consistently competing for BCS championships. Consistently. And U of M football program now is at the point where success, failure for them is competing regularly for Big Ten championships and getting to a BCS game, two out of 4 years.
Yes. Well, Drew, let's go back to basketball. What do you expect from Michigan and Michigan State in this NCAA tournament?
Well, both teams Michigan should get to the Sweet 16. That should be the standard of expectation. How you define excellence, how you define success and failure for Michigan basketball right now is that you got to get to the second week of the tournament. If you can't do that this year, it's a failed season. There's no questioning that, no disputing that. Michigan State, they should be. I have them losing in the Elite Eight to Missouri because I think that the loss of Brandon Dawson is going to hurt them defensively, especially this bracket may not have any big names aside from MSU, but they have very good athletic teams. Missouri, especially, that's the team I picked to come out of the West. They're a guard-oriented team with a bunch of 6'3", 6'4", athletes who can put it up. They can shoot. It forces you to defend, especially along the perimeter, and losing a Brandon Dawson is going to hurt them in that aspect. It gets more athletic teams, and that's where that loss is going to come up and bite them in the back pocket. It'll be in the Elite Eight. But I pick that Michigan State to get to the Sweet 16 where they'll lose to North Carolina, and Michigan State gets to the Elite Eight where they'll lose to Missouri.
I know I told you I'm very scared of that Memphis team because that could be a team that upsets Michigan State. I agree with you. I think they're going to get the high, but I'm really nervous about Memphis. Should I be?
Well, it's true with any – it's what makes the NCAA tournament mm-hmm. great, you know. Any team can beat you at any given time. Temple, I mean, I've heard great things about Temple. That's who Michigan will probably get in the second round. That, you know, they could beat. I mean, Fran Fischler from ESPN picks Ohio to beat Michigan in the first round. You know, this is the beauty of the tournament. You have no idea how your team is going to respond. But Memphis, I just want to know how well coached are they? Are they going to be able to, with the quick turnover, handle the various types of offensive sets that Michigan State likes to run? Are they disciplined enough to do that? I don't think they are. Michigan State, I think, again, experience, you go with history. History usually shows that you get Tom Izzo through that first game and give him to the second game, he and his coaching staff will usually find a way to neutralize that opposing team's strength. So, you know, can Memphis beat them? Sure they can. If they shoot 40% from three-point range and – you know, and Keith Appling and Draymond Green struggle? Yeah, it can happen. But chances are it's not.
Yes. Let's go back to that Kansas U of D game. That should be a very exciting game. Like you say, they've got some size. They've got some athletic ability. Detroit might be one of the teams that are, you know, people aren't looking at, a very underestimated team in the NC tournament. And yes, it's going to be hard for them to beat Kansas, but it seems like they have enough talent, but maybe they don't have enough depth to beat a Kansas.
Well, yeah. I mean, depth is always a problem. Especially when you're going up when a 15 is going up against a 2, this is why that you know Detroit has to play over its head. You have Eli Holman. I mean, everyone talks about Ray McCallum, deservedly so. I mean, he's one of the better young point guards in the country. But Eli Holman played at Indiana. You know, he was a Big Ten recruit until you know they fired Kelvin Sampson and Ray McCallum was the assistant on that staff, and he followed him over with the Titans. This is a guy who you might see get drafted in the second round of the NBA draft in June. I mean, he's pretty good. They have a guard in Chase Simon, 6'6", 6'7", guard, who's not a bad shooter from three-point range, but he has some size. There's another big on that team. I believe his last name is Love. I'm not sure. But he's like 6'9", 6'10", an athlete. They have some size that can match up fairly well against Kansas. And Kansas, historically, has been one of those teams, Earl, that you know as well as I do. You've seen some teams struggle, lose as a 3 and a 4 in the first mm-hmm. round. That's happened a couple of times with Kansas. So, you know, we've seen a 15 beat a 2.
Yes.
Nothing surprises me in the NCAA tournament. Nothing surprises me. But if you can tell me right now that Ray McCallum is going to play an error-free game, you're telling me that his assist-to-turnover ratio is 6-1, 6-1 or 7-1, and he scores 23, 24 points, look at those two numbers. You give me those two numbers, and I would say that Detroit has a very good chance at beating Kansas Friday night.
And you know, Drew, they have one of the ESPN's regular on the Dunk Fest. I mean, they have Doug Johnson, who's one of the best dunkers in the nation. I've watched him a number of years. He was from Kalamazoo in high school. He made a big performance in the state tournament. You talk about a guy who can make some dunks. Boy, watch him just to see what kind of dunk show he puts on.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some good athletes there. I mean, they're doing a good job of building that program. But you always go with the number 2. I mean, chances there's a reason why Kansas is the number 2 seed. They've been this enough. They have enough, not just good talent. They got some NBA players. They got some NBA talent on that team. Now, if Ray McCallum, like I said before, if he plays like someone who's ready to take that next step and get some serious consideration as a potential NBA draft pick, then you know this would be one of those games where he has a chance to stand out from the rest of the pack.
Okay. Hey, Drew, it's always a pleasure talking with you. And we'll talk more during the tournament and after the tournament. As we know, getting close to the Tigers. Just quickly, what's your thoughts on the Tigers this year? Are you apprehensive at all? Do you think they're going to just be as strong as everyone is saying?
It's, we said the same thing in 08, Earl,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they're going to waltz the World Series. They finished in last place.
Yeah.
This is a good team. There's no question about it. It's a very good team, especially offensively. But if Miguel Cabrera can't handle it, put it this way, if Cabrera's transfer to third, if he struggles there and it causes his offensive numbers to dip a little bit, that could be a problem. You do not voluntarily defensively uproot your best player unless you're confident he can handle it. So, I mean, I think everyone's rooting for Cabrera. He's taking the right attitude in spring training. There's no question about that. And if he can do a decent job defensively, not great, just a decent job defensively and still hit 320 with 30 bombs and 110 RBI, then they're going to be an awfully tough team to beat in the AL Central.
Okay. Hey, Drew, thanks a lot for joining us, and I'll talk with you a little bit later on, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Drew Sharp talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
This is John Donvan. In the week ahead on Talk of the Nation, a modest proposal punish violence on the sports field by taking the offender to court. On Tuesday, a new effort to get police officers to hand you their business card anytime they do a stop and frisk. And political junkie Ken Rudin joins us on Wednesday. All of that and much more in the coming week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Our high today in the low 60s with sunny skies. Overnight, it'll be mostly clear, the low 38. Tomorrow, warmer, sunny with a high of 75. And for Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 72.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now there's a team in the high school playoffs that we're a little surprised that's still here. But Rob Smith from East Lansing's coach got East Lansing in there again. And Rob, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, doing good. Just want to know, is this more surprising than when you won the state championship a few years ago, this group and how they're doing it? I mean, you've lost your leading scorer, and yet you're still in there.
It's we're fine in a different way. And, of course, we can talk about losing your leading scorer, Deb Hoekstra, last year. And then, of course, Natalie Rose Brogan, a senior for us this year that went down with an ACL tear in the district semifinal. But that's what the development of our bench and the depth has done for us. And it's really kind of forced us into a certain style of play that the kids have embraced. And we've been able to, pull off a couple of upsets and put ourselves in this position. And we kind of thought that if we got this far, it'd be Grand Haven, from the start. We talked about it all summer and throughout the course of this year. And so we're kind of built for this moment. But we didn't have any idea that we would be this type of team. And so really what's exciting, you talked about the state title team. Really, comparatively, we don't have the Division I athletes that we had that year, but what we do have is probably a team chemistry that's unmatched by any team I've had, and these kids are just really super tight.
What's impressed me when I've seen you a few times this year is that your passing is so crisp. There's very few turnovers. The team passes the ball very crisply, and that's really a good aspect because, as you know, a lot of times in basketball, a lot of teams, whether they're young or even as seniors, they just don't pass the ball that well in their sets.
Yeah, well, in the Waverly game, we upset number 2 Waverly. We had 6 turnovers, and they're a team that prides themselves on their full court press, and so that was huge. And then the other night against East Kentwood, a similar team, we had 4 turnovers. And in a high school girls basketball game, you can't ask for better than that because you just give yourself more opportunities at quality possessions. Really, girls like Alex Green, who's, been a varsity player for 4 years, and Piper Tucker and Taylor Gordon, and of course, Michi Thompson, who has started point guard for us every game in the last 2 years as a sophomore. I trust in those kids to take care of the basketball and to execute what we do, and it's on them, and they've just been wonderful.
Yes, that team is really doing well for you, that's for sure. When you look at how they're playing, is it a surprise, or did you expect them to play as well as they've been playing?
Well, we knew we had a chance, but, you know, quite honestly, when you look at our district, you know, we had Waverly was a second-ranked team in the state. St. John's made it to number three in the state at one point. DeWitt was honorable mention, and Bill McCullen is just one of the most fabulous coaches out there. And you know, we had four league champs in one district. So as possible as we thought it would be to get this far, we knew getting out of our district would probably be the most difficult thing. And then, of course, Gull Lake, who just switched to A this year, the proud Class B team that had won five straight districts over there. And then East Kentwood, the only team to beat Grand Haven all year, is a team we had to face in the regionals. But no, I think the kids had a feeling that if they came together and they did the right things, they'd have a shot. So surprise, no, but are we really pleased with the opportunity? Absolutely, because you get the reward of the hard work paying off and having another week to spend with the kids and time to prepare with the coaches. And this is what March Madness is all about. It's about getting that extra game in, that extra practice in, and continuing your season.
And, of course, losing your top scorer, your top offensive scorer, how do you see the team offensively now? Is still a good, solid team, or have the other girls stepped up to take to fill that void?
Well, that's the thing. You know, Natalie Rose Brogan was scoring 9.7 points per game. We didn't have a player scoring over double digits all year. And so it's always been a collective process in terms of the scoring. And so, you know, it's just a matter of some of the other girls just kind of picking up here and there. And then, you know, Taylor Gordon is the one that was injected in the starting lineup. And she's been a defensive dynamo for us. And, you know, her responsibility has been to shut down the other team's point guard, and she did a wonderful job against Victoria Milton. She held her to 0 points in the first half of the Waverly game, and then again the other night against Gull Lake, held their point guard to their leading scorer to 8 points, and then again against East Kentwood, the Carter kid over there that was averaging 15 points, she held her to 5. So if you have a kid like that, and then couple that with a girl like Amy Conkle, who subs for her. Amy was our defensive wizard for the most part of last year, but she's been a little bit hampered with a foot injury. But we put her in there now. She's 100%. And the two just combined to wear down the other team's point.
You know, many of us in the area, many of the fans and myself included, haven't had a chance to see Grand Haven. Tell us a little bit about this team. What makes them so good?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, they dazzle you with their height. You know, they start 6'6", Abby Cole at center. She can reach as high as 8'5" and can dunk a tennis ball, so she gets up rim high. So she changes a lot of shots. She's a school leader in block shots. She's a kid that's taken a full ride to Michigan in volleyball, actually, but, you know, she likes the game of basketball. Alexis Law has been there 4 years. They're a three guard, and she's a 5'11 kid that can, she can literally drain the three from 30 feet. I mean, you just can't leave her alone, and she's been real good for them. And then their point guard, the one that really hurt us last year, Cherie Davis, a gal about 5'9 that is really silky smooth out there. She does everything. You know, she's got the pull-up three. She's a real nice drive and a real nice jump shot. And when she gets after it defensively, she's pretty tough. And, you know, and then, you know, their fourth and fifth leading scorers that they bring off the bench, you know, that's whenever you have that luxury to have that kind of scoring off your bench. And couple that with the fact that they're all, you know, 5'11", 6 feet, 6'1", as they sub, they're going to pose some issues in terms of the rebounding. So that's got to be a focus for us. They're ranked number one for a reason. You know, they're probably talent-wise and depth-wise the best team in the state. You know, but we've played with the best in the state, and we think that we can play with them. And our goal is to just try to take away their strengths and exploit their weaknesses, and maybe we can get some things. I really like Piper Tucker tonight with her matchup, and I really like Alex Green with her matchup. And so we know we have a couple things You know, it's just a matter of, you know, can we get them? And I think the beginning of the game is going to be key, that we can stay right there with them, maybe even get a lead, and then control the tempo. You know, Grand Haven is not a team that you want to get down 10 to right away, because they'll just do so many different things offensively. I mean, have so many different weapons and options. So, you know, in a nutshell, that's Grand Haven. And Katie Kowalczyk-Fulmer has been around quite some time, and she's built an extremely successful program over there on the west side of the state. And they've, you know, this is our third time playing them in 5 years in the quarterfinals. We got them by a point in 08 when they had Emma Veach, and then they got us last year by 9. And so it's kind of the rubber match.
Yeah, Rob, now, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, girls basketball, girls teams, you know, the tallest player would be about 6 foot, and that would be considered a giant. Today, 6 foot players are guards. I mean, it seems like the growth among the players in girls basketball has grown a lot these days. It seems like a lot of players are 6'5", 6'6", or 6'4". They're getting taller. Do you see it that way? Do you see that girls just in general are just getting bigger, and that's making it tougher in the game?
It's absolutely amazing the height that we're seeing. I mean, it wasn't long ago, 09, where we went down to Country Day and pulled off that huge upset that year against Madison Williams in Country Day. And she was, you know, she's 6'7", and she seemed like she was 7 feet tall, but, you know, with her long reach. And you know, so we played against the big kids before, but it's just so, when they're that big and how they change the shot around the basket, that's just a huge difference in how you want to approach the game. But, I just, in general, I think that the sport and just, you know, athletics in general has really become more popular with the gals. And so it's exciting to see the increase in interest and then, of course, the level of skill that they're now bringing to the court. You know, it's really amazing to see what some of these young ladies can do. And it's really exciting to be a girls basketball coach. I know we don't always draw the biggest crowds, but, you know, when we talk about East Lansing playing Grand Haven tonight, it doesn't get much better than this in girls basketball, and to have this opportunity is really special.
Yes, and the girls today are so much more athletic than they were even five years ago or less. Is the athleticism has grown a great deal, Rob?
Well, that, and I think that, you know, it, maybe back in the day it wasn't as cool to be, you know, on a sports team or to be athletic if you're a female, but I think society in general has really painted that picture that it's okay to be athletic. It's okay to go out there and work hard and have fun and get after it. And our kids, especially at East Lansing, have kind of taken that and embraced it and, you know, been very successful. And I've seen, you know, just in the last 10 years in our state, the excitement for girls basketball and the level at which they play has increased tenfold, no question.
Yes, it really has. Let's talk about your game again. How are you going to combat? I'm assuming you have to play a zone against such a big team, or will you try a little man-to-man?
We're going to mix it up. You know, the issue with Grant, and this is why they're so good, is because you cannot leave Davis or Law. I mean, they're that good of shooters. And when you have that and you try to play a zone and you miss a couple assignments, it can be over quick. So, you know, I think that you play a lot of times you want to play a good man-to-man with zone principles. And this is where the scouting comes in and is so important, that you know the tendencies of the other players. And, you know, I guess an example is, you know, we held Kentwood, you know, the 36 points under their average. Yes, Kentwood wasn't having one of their better games, but a lot of that had to do with our kids knowing what they do. And so that's, it's going to come down to matchups tonight. It's going to come down to our kids winning the battles and getting to the loose balls and keeping their composure. The one thing we've never been afraid to do at East Lansing is find what works. And so if we got to make a couple of switches early on, and, you know, we'll get that done just depending on the feel of the game. But, you know, we were really successful dropping Alex Green back in the paint the last couple of games because, of course, she's just a phenomenal defensive player in terms of taking the charge. And so we like to get her in the lane against teams that like to drive, and we think we can do that with a couple of their guards tonight, and so that will be key.
Rob, I know time is on. Susie Merchant, watch a ton of film. Both coaches watch a ton of film and evaluate a bunch of film for their players. Are high school players now getting into watching even more film than what they did even as far as 4 to 5 years ago? It seems like film study has really taken a huge step in even in high school ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what separates our team this year from teams in the past is that we've done a better job of getting video to the kids and having them take ownership to the scouting report. The other night against East kind of went on the way over in the bus. You could hear a pin drop in there, and so they were all studying their reports. It just goes to show that the level of maturity that this group has. But I do think in general that teams are doing more of that, and I've had just some phenomenal coaches on my staff and Gary Greider and Scott Kenninger, Alexis Mueller, Dennis Petrowitz that play a big role behind the scenes getting that video ready and getting in the kids' hands. So, yeah, absolutely. And to go into a game like this and not know the other team's tendency is almost sure defeat nowadays. So, yeah, it's huge.
Yes, and it's great because I noticed, and I know a lot of people, a lot of the fans have noticed how the overall improvement in girls' high school basketball. It's been tremendous over the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I will say that the coaching has been so good in this area. I mean, you just look in this area, guys like Bill McCullen and Mark Lasaki out there in St. John's, and just to name a few. Al Schrodman at Portland St. Pat's. I mean, I just want to sit back and take notes at what that guy's done over the course of his career. And Ray Kimball out in Portland, he's done a phenomenal job with that program. And you know, really, it is an extremely competitive area, and it's also just a lot of fun getting to know these coaches and competing with them. That just raises the level of interest, the girls knowing that the coaching staff is going to do the work and have them ready and have them prepared. That just kind of elevates everybody's play.
Rob, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Best of luck, and I will see you at the game tonight, buddy.
Awesome, Earl. Can't wait. This is the best time of year, man.
Yes, it is.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Okay. Talk to you later. That's Rob Smith, the head coach of East Lansing Trojans. They play Grand Haven tonight over at Eastern Lansing Eastern Fieldhouse. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
From 2009 to 2010, black students across the nation were 3.5 times more likely to be suspended or expelled than white students. I'm John Donvan. School discipline. What happens when punishment is not fair? Plus, why you can't get some songs out of your head. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The high today, 63 degrees with sunny skies. It'll be mostly clear with a low of 38 tonight. Wednesday's outlook, another sunny day and a few degrees warmer with a high reaching the mid-70s. And mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms Thursday, the high 72. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, if you're going to a high school basketball game tonight, there's good ones going on. And you can, of course, you can see the NCAA tournament starts today. The play-in games start tonight out over in Dayton. And there'll be big crowds up for those games. So we've got NCAA tournament basketball going on, and we've got high school basketball going on. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan, and You know, Aaron, I'm going to try to get you out to some high school game. I know it's been a while. I know you might be a little rusty, maybe a little old, but we might have to get you out and get you at one of these high school games, either a girl's or a boy, or maybe get you at one of each.
Did you just call me old? Oh, man.
Yeah, not quite as old as me, but you know, you've been away from the girls' game or the boys' game actually a little longer than I have, because I've been going each and every year, so you might be a little older that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's been a while. I probably last about 2 minutes on a court, and I'd probably need a stretcher. But, yeah, it would be interesting to go one of these games, kind of see how these teams play. I mean, I like I said, I played back in high school and all the way up till my sophomore year. But, you know, it would be interesting to see how things have changed. I know down here there's, you know, a lot of good teams down here this way, down in this area, so it would be interesting to go to one.
Okay. Well, right now let's talk a little bit about Tom Izzo's team. You know, he's got a very good team. They're heading into the tournament. They're going to face LIU, Long Island University. And let's hear Coach Izzo talk about how well his team is doing.
And we do have a go-to guy in Draymond, and Keith is making progress. Keith is making progress. I mean, he can guard anybody, but he's making progress with his decisions and less turnovers early in the year. He was a turnover machine. He's doing a lot better job. His shot isn't back to where it needs to be or where it will be, but he's had to make so many adjustments that I feel Keith is, has done a pretty good job. And then Thornton and Wood making shots, and that's helped, but I think the other two guys that we don't give credit to are Nixon Payne, you know, is they're never on all the time, but they're consistently, we're getting something out of that position more than we've probably gotten here in a lot of years. And then, you know, our couple of freshmen, I mean, hey, Kearney does a good job yesterday. He gets a tip in, he gets a quick basket, he defends his tail off, gets a couple rebounds. Trice comes in, you know, he's missed so much time, but makes a big three, gets a steal for another one. Everybody's playing their role and their part. So it's so hard for me to pick it out. I can imagine what it's like for you and then for the normal fan. But it's everybody not caring about anything but winning, and the leadership does that. And that's where Day-Day's been worth way more than his points or rebounds.
And when you talk about Day-Day, and Coach Izzo was asked about Day-Day and what he's meant to the team.
Most impressive part of the day is when we went on a 10-0 run when I was on the bench, you know, more or less saying, and he also said he didn't play very well. And when guys can evaluate themselves and put it in context with the team, that means you've really grown. And I think he appreciated what Austin, what Wood did. You know, it was funny, as I said, Day-Day did not play very good. I didn't think. And as I went back and watched the film, took three charges in the game. He still had 9 rebounds. He made that drop-off pass to Wood, which was a big play, 1 second left on the shot clock. He made 2 passes into Knicks. That one was a basket, one was 2 free throws, and he hits the 3, you know, and 12 points and 9 rebounds and some assists and pretty good defense, maybe some of the better defense he played. And Coach, you know, I'm like, you guys are like fans, you know, I get spoiled, you know. He didn't wear his cape yesterday, but he did everything else, and I think that's what made me feel so good. He appreciated the other guys. He realized that he made them realize how important they are, because he told them, you know, we wouldn't be here without all you guys, even though I get a lot of credit. And he played better than maybe I even gave him credit for earlier. I think he and I were both too critical because he went 4 for 14 or whatever he shot. He did some other things that were more impressive than I realized until I watched it.
And that's Coach Izzo, Tom Izzo, talking about Draymond Green, who is indeed having a phenomenal, a great, great career that's winding down here at Michigan State. Give us a call, talk sports with us, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, yesterday, or actually last night, I went over to the women's selection show as the Spartan women were selected. They're going into the NCAA tournament. So congratulations to Michigan State. Michigan and Eastern Michigan, all three are in the NCAA tournament. And I asked Coach Merchant, or I didn't ask her, but she was asked about how well the team is doing. And since they've had this week off and they've had this week of practice now between the time the season ended, the Big Ten tournament ended, and now getting ready to go into the tournament. And here's what Coach Merchant had to say about the work the team has been doing.
The good thing is we were on break, so we didn't have a scout team. So, you know, we've been able to work both sides of the ball and really be aggressive and compete a little bit more. And I feel like, you know, everybody's gotten better this week. I felt like when we went into, you know, when we met on Tuesday and started practice, I mean, there was kind of, I use the acronym FEET. I mean, to me, we want focus, we want energy, we want effort, we want toughness. And that's what we need in the postseason to win. So that's what we wanted out of every practice. And we just kept talking about FEET, you know. And I felt like our kids, whether it was an individual skill session, whether it was a two-a-day, whether it was a hardcore practice, I felt like both sides of the ball got better and everybody got a little bit better here with a lot of reps and opportunity being on break.
Yes, they have. They've been putting in a lot of work. And Coach Merchant was asked, what about Louisville? That's the team they play in the first round.
Yeah, we tried to recruit their guard, Shoni Schimmel. You know, she's a very outstanding playmaking guard. And I've seen him a little bit. I mean, I have to watch him on film, but I certainly know her. Jeff Walls, actually. We have our paths crossed through the Mid-American Conference. He was Brenda Freeze's assistant at Ball State when I was a head coach at Eastern Michigan. So know him from those days, certainly. And then just, you know, just as a coaching colleague, at, you know, on the road and stuff. So, yeah.
And that's Coach Susie Merchant talking about their first-round opponent, Louisville, coming up in the NCAA tournament. And they play on Saturday, Saturday afternoon. They have that first-round game. We also had a chance to chat with Portia Poole, and she talked about how the team is starting to execute even better.
I think we've been executing great, moving the ball well, just being patient, people playing with each other, getting confidence. And I feel like a lot of people have been stepping their game up, which is making us a much better team.
And LaKendra Johnson has been playing and it's gotten better and better over the season. She started golf to a slow start, but she's starting to play a lot better.
I mean, we're very strong right now. We got people stepping up, being, you know, not just role players, but being a team player. And if they can help, you know, the starting five or, you know, whatever the rotation is. And I think everybody's just bringing an A game and ready to play.
So you've got two Michigan State teams, both ready for the NCAA tournament, and good luck to both of them. You can give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. As you know, with the tournament getting going and we're in the midst of the high school tournament, there's a lot of action, a lot of things going on here on AM 870 in Mid-Michigan area. Mid-Michigan has some very good teams. Okemos is still in the playoffs, doing well. And, you know, we can just, of course, Lansing Sexton, which a lot of people believe are going to win Class B. And you got Kiwama Westphalia. They're still in there. You know, in Lansing Christians, Justin Terry was named Class D Coach of the Year. Congratulations to Justin. And, you know, a lot of good teams here in the Mid-Michigan area. You know, East Lansing, of course, we've already mentioned them. So a lot of teams to appreciate. And a lot of teams, if you want to go out and see some of the good basketball in Mid-Michigan area, it's certainly well worth it tonight. Because you've got good girl teams, good boys teams. So there's a lot of basketball. If you enjoy the sport of basketball, you can just go out there and see some of our fine, fine teams here in the Mid-Michigan area. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. Our lines are open. We're here. We can take your calls. And you can just give us a call and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Well, let's go out to DeWitt and chat with Trim. Trim, how you doing?
Hey, Earl.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, a lot of excitement, I tell you, this March Madness week with both the men and women's. And, of course, a lot of excitement about the Tigers with the Prince Wheeler. I have not really heard any discussion to speak of about the competition in the Central, like Chicago, Minnesota, and Cleveland. What can you tell me about, you know, maybe key additions they've made, or they lost key players, they're about the same, or...
Well, Cleveland... could be one of the teams you better watch out for. I mean, they've got it's a lot of ifs with Cleveland, but they've got, as you know, a lot of good, solid pitchers with that team. But they've had a couple of players who are coming back from injury. If they come back, this could be a lot more competitive team than they have been in the past. So look for it. Look at Cleveland, at their hitters. If they've got like two players, I forget one, the main one is coming back, and they've got a couple of players that were injured a lot last year, so that could be a very good team. Minnesota, you know, they've just had a lot, as you know, last year they had a ton of injuries, so if they can stay healthy this year, they'll be a team that they can be competitive. In Chicago, well, that's a team that's on the rebuild. You know, they're always talking about their rebuilding effort and what they're going to be bringing to the table, so they've really, it's Detroit and everybody else. And Detroit, unless, you know, as we've said, they're not strong up the middle in infield, and if they can't get that defense together, that could be Detroit's biggest Achilles heel. If they don't play strong defense, any of those teams might be able to give them a challenge them in that division. But as it's constituted right now, Detroit should run away with that division, in all honesty. But as you know, they do have some holes there. So, and if the other team can fill up the holes that they've had all year, they could make it interesting. And that's probably about the best I could say. They could make it interesting and give the Tigers some competition. Unless the Tigers, as you know, they have some injuries. You know, everybody can have injuries, and that's always going to be a problem. So, you know, you're going to have to watch out and see if everybody stays healthy. And if they do, oh, it should be a very good year for Detroit.
You know, my favorite player has always been Brandon Inge, and it's good to see him doing well. He's I felt so bad for him last year with the mono and all that, and he's coming to camp muscled up, and from what I've been reading at the website, the Tiger website, he's made a great transition to second base.
Yes, and they need that because, you know, if he can play second base and fill in some time to third, you know, if he can become a good, solid utility player and then fill in some time in the outfield, if he can hit, as you know, his problem has always been hitting. If he can just come up and hit, say, 260 to 270, then he'll be allowed to fill in all these positions. He can fill in second base. He can fill in the outfield, third base, and the outfield. So he can fill in a lot of positions, you know, if he can stay healthy and if he can hit again.
What have you been hearing about, say, like the batting lineup of the Tigers? What would you say would be Austin Jackson leading off, and then from there, what have you been hearing?
Bosch, and then, you know, you're going to have the two big guns in there. And after that, you know, Fielder and then Cabrera, and then some of the, and then fifth would probably be the other outfielder, or actually the DH. That would be Young at DH. So it follows by, but those would be the top five hitters right there.
Yeah, boy, I sure hope Austin Jackson can cut down on the strike.
Yes.
That'd be
nice. He's been working on that, and so hopefully he will have cut down on it. You're right. That would be a big plus because you need a leadoff hitter. You need someone who can get on base. So if he can get on the base, you know, hitting a 3-3 something, that would be a big plus for the Tigers.
Well. Thanks, Earl, and boy, I tell you, what a week, huh?
Yes, it is. I'm trying to keep my head above water. That's all I can say. I'm trying to keep my head above water. But we've got a lot of basketball and a lot of baseball coming up. It's a fun time of year, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, Earl, have a great rest of the day.
Okay, Thanks. You too. Thank you. I'll tell you, yes, we're trying to keep our head above water, and I'm not a good swimmer, so I really have to try hard to keep my head above water. I'm doing that little old dog paddle, you know, just to keep my head above water. Now, Aaron, you know, we've talked about this hoop in the hoop scene, the colleges primarily, we've NCAA tournament. Now, I got to ask you, do you pay much attention to the pro game, or you just do all NCAA basketball, or you even peek at the pro game right now?
Pro game, no. I'm not a huge NBA fan. I watch it occasionally when it's on TV. I don't have cable or anything, so I only get to see what's on usually on ABC. You know, the Pistons obviously are never on there. They're usually on Fox Sports. But no, I'm not really paying attention. come playoff time, I try to peek in a little bit more. So I don't know a lot of info on all these teams, but, you know, the typical stuff that, you know, you get the Lakers, you get all those kind of teams that get a lot of recognition in the sports world. So I kind of keep up with those a little bit more.
And you know, with the pro game, you know, you have such big stars. A lot of them came out of the college game and transferred on and went on to the pro game and to be big stars. Do you follow? I've had debates over the years with players, with some friends and people that, you know, some people have said they don't once the players leave college, they don't follow them at all. I said, well, that's sort of crazy. I mean, you follow them all the way up through college. Why wouldn't you continue to follow them in the pros? And some people have said they don't do that. Are you one of those people, or do you follow them even after they've left college? Do you follow their careers and how they do in the pro game?
In basketball, yeah, not so much. I really don't. Actually, one guy I was kind of sort of following was Shannon Brown for a while there, because he had. I don't know if he's still on the Lakers or not.
He's in Phoenix now.
Phoenix now. So obviously, I'm not paying attention to him anymore, because I would have known that answer. So yeah, I don't really, and I don't know why either. I don't know if it's because. Something about college basketball, we all know just the intangibles of college basketball and why obviously we're here in March, but I don't know if it's what it is, but in the NFL, I try to pay attention a little bit more. I don't know if it's because I like the NFL a little bit more than the NBA. That just could be as simple as that, but and it also depends if they maybe are from around this area too, you know, that might be something to do with it too. So I understand why some people would just not follow them after once they become a professional, though.
Sure. In football, it's more understandable because the guys are here for 3 and 4 years, where a lot of, in college basketball, as you know, a lot of guys are one and done. If they're really good, they're only there for 1 year. They're not there for 2 or 3 years. So you have a lot more one and done guys in college basketball as opposed to football, where they're there at least 3 years, maybe even 4 years. But that's could be a little bit of a problem for people trying to keep up with the guys, and then like the other thing, like you say, after they've gotten out of college, you just don't pay that much attention anymore.
Yeah, and the one and done, you know, you kind of lose some yeah. respect for that. I think that's what some people are like, well, you know, you're just going to college just to get your way into the NBA. You're just that's all it is. That they don't even, you know, it's like, oh, well, I have to go to college for 1 year at least, and then I'll work my way to the NBA. But you don't, you know, there's, I guess, a respect factor. You don't really gain a relationship with that player. You don't see him grow. You don't see him on TV as much, only for 1 year. So that's a lot of it, too, and I can understand that.
And, yes, and, of course, with basketball, with basketball season, this is the biggest season of the big the NCAA tournament. But it's some football going on. I know a lot of people don't realize a lot of football, but it's pro day here at Michigan State. I'll be heading over there to look at the young men who are getting their chance to show what they've got. A lot of guys that went to Michigan State or went to other universities, they'll come up for the pro day here at Michigan State, and they'll get a chance to show what they can do. And if they do really well in a pro day, you'll find out some guys will get signed to free agent contracts out of this, you know, and get a free agent contract. But you really have to put out a very good effort in pro day. So I'll be heading over to the Michigan State pro day shortly and take a look at how some of the guys are doing. And then if I get a chance, I'll talk to some of the coaches about spring ball, which will be coming up in the very near future. But this will be a very exciting time for seniors who weren't invited to the draft. If they can show anything, they can at least get a free agent tryout, and we'll see that from those guys. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling, and we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. I have a report for you from the East Lansing Grand Haven game coming up tonight, but I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. We want you to have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.